after all of that, a week later, so you go to XSI.
Yeah, go to XSI. Eric,
so, I mean, what happened? You just decided to go to XSI out of the blue, but...
No, I mean, that was one of the things that we talked about that Sunday. Eric was like, dude, you gotta do something. Like, mm-hmm. I remember saying that, like, I need to get right with the Lord. I know that in my heart, like... Mm-hmm. And I was being 100% genuine. I knew that in my heart, God has been pulling on me, like, that week prior, like, yeah. It was just a buildup of all that stuff, the DUI, like, getting clean and not getting clean, like...
Yeah, God pulling some strings.
Yeah, and one failed relationship after the next, you know, it was like, I finally reached a breaking point, you know, where it was like, I got nothing. Literally at ground zero, you know, rock bottom. I knew, when I told you guys, I was like, I gotta get right with the Lord. But what I didn't know is how I was gonna do that.
Welcome back to This Joe Show. Today's episode is part two of Andrew's story. We'll hear about how the Lord continued to work in Andrew's life after his return to fellowship and how God continues to sanctify him.
Crazy how the Lord has done. Like, I have a good job now. I'm stable. I got people that I'm trying to love and care about, and like the Lord has blessed me. You know, and you and Eric both encouraged me to hit up Brian. I was still hesitant.
Who's
like,
on his honeymoon right now?
Yeah.
As we talk.
Yeah. Who's also another miracle? Shouting on the podcast. Anyway, but and I was like, yeah, I'll do it, and like not even really thinking I was going to, you know. It was one of those words that was like, all right, I'll think about it type thing. And that whole week I was like super depressed, called off work like every day, probably because I mean, when you're coming off of pills, I didn't detox that time because it wasn't like, I think right before I broke up with Tony I got clean, and then when we broke up I started doing drugs again, so like I wasn't doing it every day at that point. I was depressed for sure, because that's like, that's definitely, and I remember mom kind of like watching me like a hawk, you know, like she was just trying to like make sure I was like okay, you know, I wasn't like suicidal or anything like that. So I called Brian on like a Thursday of after that Sunday, and I was like, what's going on, man? Like, how you been? It's like, dude, what's up? Like, totally surprised I even called him, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I've been going through some stuff and kind of would like to hang out, you know? And he's like, yeah, dude, like, absolutely. He's like, when are you free? And I'm like, I got to work this weekend. He's like, I'm going to XSI on Wednesday. I'm coming back Wednesday night, so, like, you can just come for the day. Like, you don't got to stay or anything. And I was like, all right, yeah, I'm down. And, like, When he first gave me that idea, I felt super overwhelmed by it. You know, I was like, oh man, I'm jumping into XSI, like, just been off of pills for a week, you know, I'm gonna go to XSI. And I was like, alright, yeah, I'll go. And I told him I'd go, like, thinking I'd come up excused from the next, like, the day before or something. And so the day before comes around, it's a Tuesday, and he calls me, he's like, you're coming, right? And I was like, at that point, I was so depressed and, like, so tired of sitting at home. Because I either went to work or just came home, you know. I don't have an excuse. Like, there's no reason for me not to go. And I need to talk to someone, you know. I need to...
And where were your idiot friends in all of this mix?
They weren't really hitting me up at all, you know, because they knew I wasn't doing drugs. They were kind of like MIA, you know. They weren't... I mean, I think they would call me to kick it or something, but I just wouldn't feel like it, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't really want to hang out with them just because I didn't want to sit there and watch them do drugs, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I had no excuse. I was, like, super lonely and super depressed. So, I was like, yeah, it'd be good to talk to Brian and just see how he's doing, you know. And that was kind of my intent, like, when I first, I was like, well, I got a two-hour ride that I can just talk to B and see what B's up to. And we ended up driving to Columbus, like, with the intention of, like, just trying to see what he was up to, you know, and not really be vulnerable with my situation. Like, he just literally drew me out, you know. And it was really easy, too, because... I was dying to tell someone, you know. I was dying to, like, get this out, work through it. And it was definitely the Holy Spirit. We're using Brian. And it was so cool just to, like, be real, you know? I spent so much time playing the facade of, even in the world too, it's like a game, dude. You're playing, I played this game to get people to like me. You know, I was never really myself. I was always trying to play this role of what I thought people would like, you know? It was cool just to be real with Brian and talk to him for like, we talked to him 2 hours and he was just asking me questions. And I think he was trying to get like a gauge on like, if I was being serious. And I couldn't have been more honest, you know? He was already talking about like, dude, you gotta come to IP, like it's huge now, like you gotta check it out. I'm like, all right, yeah, like kind of like not even really knowing what I'm doing, you know? I got to XSI and like we were hanging out with people and random people I have never even met before come up to me like, dude, you're Andrew Schultz. Like, we've been praying for you. It's like, who are you? I know who you are, you know? It was like meeting person after person and seeing like how big IP was, you know? Like, this isn't the high school group I left, you right. know? Kyle was one of the first person to come up and like hug me and like, it was just like such a raw love. Like, dude, I miss you, bro. Like, where you been? And it was just like so impactful and to see people that don't even know me praying for me, you know? To find out the home church that I went into, which was High Life at the time, they were praying for me in their prayer meeting for like that whole year, I think. Mm. And it was like, these people don't even know me. And they're like basically just praying off of the ghost I used to be, you know? And I definitely think the Lord orchestrated every single step of like from the DUI to like getting clean, not getting clean to, you know, then eventually getting caught. And I only came for that Wednesday. And I like was wearing like, Still, like in sweatpants and like a beanie, and it was like literally 80 degrees out. Mm-hmm. And Kyle was like, dude, you gotta stay. And we were at the RV at the time. That's the first time I ever saw the RV. Everyone mm-hmm. was like partying out in the parking lot at Columbus Xenos. And Keith was talking to me and asking questions and seeing what I've been up to. And everyone, I was meeting everyone, and everyone was like asking who I was. And it was just genuine people trying to like love me and care about me. And really see where I was at. I was walking back with Brian to the car. I was like, I gotta work tomorrow, but I'll see if someone will cover my shift. And like, out back at that time, it was during the summer, and we were really like low staffed. So like, trying to get your shift covered was almost nearly impossible. Like, mm-hmm. you'd have to pay people to take your shift sometimes because everyone was overworked and no one wanted to pick up shifts. I release a shift, and like, usually when they get picked up, it go right to your email. And like, it was on my phone, and right when I released it, it got picked up. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. I was like, I was like, damn, I went to work. Like, there's no way I can call off. Like, mm-hmm. I basically just called off the whole week prior. Like, I'll get fired if I call off again, you know? And this girl picked up my shift right away. And I was like, all right, well, I got to go back with Brian that night to get clothes and stuff. And Kyle's like, you don't need clothes, dude. Like, we'll get a toothbrush at the gas station, you'll be fine. I was like, I'm going to go back and get clothes and stuff. And me and Brian were walking to the car, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to stay. I was like, I want to hear these teachings, I want to do that. And I ended up hanging out with Kyle that night, slept at the McCallum's, just talked to Kyle like the entire night. Mm-hmm. I think me and him stayed up till like 2:30, just talking, him encouraging me and just trying to like...
Was he married at that time?
Yeah, he was married.
Kyle was?
Yeah, that's the first time I met Caitlin. Just sat and asked me questions, you know, and just cared about me and was like, yeah, dude, you're kind of at a rough spot. Like, what are you going to do type thing? And at that point, I was still even unsure, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I went to all the breakouts that next day and, like, I was flying high, you know? I'm like, man, this is awesome. Like, feel good, you know? I felt like I hadn't felt in years, you know? I felt actual, like, real joy.
Like the love of the body of
Christ. Yeah, I felt like the Lord was just pulling on my heart super hard, and I was like, man, this is actually like significant. This has meaning. Like, I got all these people that actually care, truly love me. That Friday, Scott Risley taught, and it's a teaching on the resurrection. It's about Lazarus. It was about Lazarus, and it was just like so impactful. I was in the front row. I remember towards the end of his teaching, like, I was sitting there like, in tears, and Brian's like looking over at me, like trying to see if I was actually crying. Like, he was like trying to play it off too, like trying not to like notice like he's yeah. looking at me. But and I remember Mom texting me, she's like, did you hear that teaching? Because she was over at like building the extra watching. Mm-hmm. She's like, did you hear that teaching? I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I think I finally like realized, like, I don't have the whole the crazy part of the whole theme of that XSI was like the meaning of life. And I was sitting there for a while like, I have no meaning in my life. And this is the direction I want to go. And this is how I'm going to feel, have meaning, you know? And like, I was breaking down, and like, B was leaving for South Dakota the next day. Mm. After hanging out with B those 3 days, and like, he's saying goodbye to me because he's going to be gone for a week. And he's like, he's crying, like saying goodbye to me. I'm like, dude, why are you crying? Like, I'll see you in a week. Like, he's like, I'm just going to miss you, man. It's like, you just went almost 10 years without seeing me, and you're going to cry. Like, not being able to see me for a week. Like, it was just so genuine. And it was just like, I was praising God, you know, because I was literally at rock bottom, and I felt completely like built up and energized. And I was like, all right, this is the next step. I got to get back involved. And it was like kind of a slow process at first. And then I started coming to everything consistently, you know. It was like, okay, I'm finally like starting to meet people, and I'm trying to get incorporated.
That was in July. I thought you moved into a ministry house by like August.
I did.
Yeah.
It was kind of a slow process of like how to like get back into the groove for me. You know, maybe it was like faster than most people or whatever, just because it was like very easy because I knew so many people. It felt like a slow process of actually like walk, like going to everything, you know, like going to IP on Tuesdays and then trying to incorporate it into a cell. I started doing that, and people were encouraging me to like really take it seriously. Like, you should move into a ministry house. Like, you got to get out of Bedford. Like, there's no way you're going to be able to do this in Bedford. And at that point too, I remember it was after a CT, and I was talking to Dart on the back porch, and she's like, what's holding you back from moving into a ministry house? I'm like, really nothing. Like, the only thing that I was thinking about is like my comfort of having like the whole upstairs of my parents' house like by myself. But I was like, 25, like, I gotta get the fuck out of there, you know? And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And I told myself that Monday, like, hey, want me to move in? I'm in. I'm down. And it was like, everyone was super excited. And me and Lee Bayless like clicked almost immediately, like me and him.
Sniffles?
What?
You know the whole thing, how Brian calls it, or called him Sniffles?
In Israel?
Yeah.
He had a cold?
But now he's just like Sniffles to me.
Oh. I think Brian didn't let that stick in his own
head. I know.
Oh, it stuck to me. It's stuck in my head.
Yeah, Sniffles. Me and him clicked like right away. And
are you guys still good friends?
Yeah, he's still like probably my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first year of living in a ministry house, me and him clicked. Like, there was a time that him and B went to LA, and they were like gone for like 3 days, and I was like FaceTiming him every day. Like, I missed him, you know. It was the first relationship where I really felt like Bayless was so crucial to like actually having like a real relationship of like having, like, B was like huge too, and all those guys at Enterprise, Tommy, Rob, John, like those guys helped me get on my feet, you know. And I was still like a retard at the time, but everything started falling in place. I got a job. I got started working at EDC, doing HVAC work, which was also, I 100% believe it was from God, because like it was random as hell. Like, it was like one day I think I was sitting at home like binge watching Game of Thrones, and they called me and like, hey, we have your resume on monster.com. And I threw one resume on monster.com, and I just put it up there, you know. And they found me, and they're like, we want to bring you in for an interview. And I was like, all right, where are you guys at? And I'm like, whatever, I need a job. I can't keep working at Outback and being in the ministry department. And I wanted to get the hell out of Outback at that point. So I ended up getting that job. Everything was just falling in place. Like, the Lord was helping me get on my feet. I was learning how to actually, like I want to say, like, breaking, but it wasn't even really breaking. It was just learning how to, like, walk again, you know, learning how to love people, learning how to make relationships work in the ministry house, and love my roommates, you know, work through conflict. I was still, like, really struggling to, like, make the Lord my priority still, you know. It was still kind of, I just didn't know how, in a way. And that was, like, probably the first year of, like, getting back in the ministry, was, like, trying to figure out how to be useful. And the Lord definitely used me in a lot of ways too, to actually like reach out to some people. I think one friend, Bird. Remember Bird?
I know. Bird.
Yeah, it was kind of sad. But he came around. I met him at the basketball tournament, and God used me a lot in that way. And
Have you ever run into him again?
No.
Yeah, what about
he like got married, and I haven't really talked to him since. He was the first dude I actually like brought to Christ. The crazy part is, like, I was really praying for someone to invest. Like, that entire year, I was like, Lord, give me someone to invest in. Give me someone to I could really pour into. And when I first met him and got his number, like, they came to, like, a couple. And, like, I was like, oh, they, like, might be interested, you know, him and his friend. And he wasn't really, you could tell they weren't really interested. And he started dating his now wife, I think, at that time. Over a winter break, he texted me randomly, like, yo, man, like, just broke up with my girlfriend. I like got this little pink Bible that she gave me, and I want to like come back to Bible study. And I was like, yeah, dude, it was like 100% from the Lord that I was even able to like reach out to this dude. And he came to me, you know, it was nothing that I did.
Yeah.
Lord brought him to me. He ended up like coming to Florida that year.
Yeah, I remember that.
He accepted Christ in Florida.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That was the first person I really actually like learned to like love sacrificially, because he got a DUI too, like at that point. So I was picking him up all the time, you know, and I remember him like telling someone that was like, yeah, Andrew was always willing to pick me up, and I actually felt what it was like to kind of sacrifice, you know.
Yeah.
And like learned to love, and that was like really cool. After Bird ended up leaving, me, Brian, and Logan moved out into Care Factory, which was a new apartment. I really started struggling that year. That's the year that, like, the Lord really started breaking me.
Oh, that girl, that weirdo gym girl.
Yeah.
That was so stupid.
And that was, like, at that point, I was trying to find, like, significance my way. And not really knowing it, you know. I was just doing ministry almost like, because I was doing ministry, you know. I was convincing myself I was trying to follow the Lord. But really, I was just trying to...
We can be very blind. Shit.
And I got wrapped up with that girl. At that time, I started getting discipled by Keith. He was really pushing me to love people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta start learning how to fill your love bank naturally, you know. Really learn.
No, I heard that you were a difficult person to disciple, and Kyle McCallum had to release you to his father.
Yeah, yeah. When we
poor Kyle, what were you doing to that?
I don't know if Keith's gonna be mad at me for mentioning this, but when Keith told us when he first started discipling me and Ryan, he goes, "I want you guys to know that I'm your last hope. That there's no one else
that's gonna invest in your ass, assholes."
I 100% believe that, because like no one else besides Keith was able to deal with like the mess that I was, and like constantly pushed me towards the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
And also let me fail.
Damn, I was talking to Dar about how many people she disciples, and she's discipling like 12 girls or something insane, and Keith's discipling like that many people too. I'm like, how do they even do that?
I love the Lord.
I know. Praise God.
I know. Thanks, Keith, for taking the lowest position for us.
Mm-hmm.
Taking my mess of a life and actually helping me become somewhat useful. Yeah, I started like trying to figure out things my way and not learn how to trust in the Lord. And I started dating that.
So you kind of took a step back.
Yeah, I kind of took a step back and regressed and was lonely because I didn't know how to love people. Mm-hmm. Didn't know how to sacrifice. I was just a taker at that point. I started like really lifting hard, going to the gym every day. I was there for like 2 hours at a time.
It's too much.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was crazy.
You can get a good workout in 45 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Lauren.
And,
truth.
I met this girl that I was dating at the time, or I wasn't even dating her really. Like I originally tried to like, cause that's when I was starting to kind of get things figured out. And, Satan sent her to me like right at the right time when I was like vulnerable and like was lonely and wanted a girlfriend, you know. And I like tried to avoid it at first, actually. I'm like, I don't want to date this girl, like, because like she was like hitting on me, like she was making it obvious that she was like into me. And I was like, at first I was like, I don't want anything to do with this. And then I just slowly kind of like gave in, you know. That came to the point where it was like, you guys saw that. You saw that firsthand. Like, I was at your house crying because, like...
I was like, you better get your shit together and run away from that shit.
Yeah, I thought, like, I love this girl or some shit. And Keith was like, you gave your heart to a stranger. And, like, 100% true,
oh
you know?
Oh, my God. And I felt the same way. I was like, what the hell?
I don't know what I was doing. But the crazy part about that was I had to choose, like... God brought me to this point where he's like, are you going to trust me with your life?
Yeah.
Or are you going to do it your way? And are you going to trust that I can meet all your needs? Or are you going to continue to try to find significance your own way. And that was the one I was like really obsessed with lifting. Like it was literally like how I felt happy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't doing ministry. It wasn't. It was like when I was at the gym for 2 hours, you know.
Yeah, that's
not just bad. Worshiping myself. And that's when Keith brought it up in Florida. Like, yo, dude, you're addicted to yourself.
Is this like right at like in Florida when you and Ryan gave that like crazy like?
No, that was a year after.
That was a year after. Okay.
Yeah, and but that's why I felt like I was able to testify to the next Florida because that Florida, the Florida before that was like the Florida from hell. Like I just wanted to go home.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that now.
And that's like when all that stuff got in me, where God brought me to the point where I was able to be like, all right, yeah, I want to like I don't want to
keep seeking self.
Yeah, I don't want to keep seeking self. And it was to the point where I was about to leave ministry. I remember I had to go talk to my roommates and like tell them like this is my plan. Like I'm gonna date this girl. And it turned into, like, a huge scream fest. I ended up punching a hole through a cabinet.
Oh.
Yeah, like, oh, wow. It was bad. And, like,
two of us around this table have gotten to an argument in the ministry house and punched something.
Yeah.
So.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't Lauren.
It was just, like, I came in there bullheaded and, like, this is it. It's my way or the highway. And my roommates weren't going to put up with it. They're like, you're an idiot. You need to chill. And like, I was just like emotional mess, you know, like just screaming at them and shit. And they're like, and Bayless cut it off at one point. He's like, I'm done. I'm done talking about this until B gets here. Cause B was at Cube Cell. And he's like, we're done talking about this. And the craziest, this is like still one of my like favorite stories, but I had to sit there like for like 20 minutes in silence because they wouldn't talk to me. Like they like Ryan and Bayless would not say a word to me. Like they like sat and looked at me.
Yorger?
Yeah, Ryan Yorger. And I had to sit there in silence and I really felt the presence. I felt the Lord say to me like, are you going to trust me? Because I have something better planned for you. Or are you going to do this your way?
Like, do you audibly hear that?
Yeah. I felt the Lord basically say like, I have something better planned for you, but you can do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what my way was, you know? Mm-hmm. I knew what my way got me. And I was, at that point, I was like, I broke down when B get there. He, like, walked through the door, and it was easy for B, because, like, I was, like, I, like, basically repented at that moment before B even walked through the door, because I was like, I can't do this. Like, I don't want anything to do with this girl. Like, I want to do this Lord's way. I know he's got something better planned for me. At that point, I had to give up.
That's cool that Bayless stood up to you.
Oh, yeah. Bayless.
Sniffles.
I think that was, like, a huge for our relationship, too, because, I mean, he got so much love authority in my life, you know, because I was a mess. Like, Bayless said one time, he's like, I thought you might punch me. I thought you were going to punch me. He's like, and then you punched the cabinet. And I was like, that wasn't going to hit anyone, but I was so frustrated. When B walked through the door, like, I basically was like, yeah. Like, we talked it, and B, like, laid it out, too. He's like, are you going to do this your way? Like, and I was like, I can't, I don't know how, like, I can't make my life work by myself. And that was, like, the turning point of 2017, where, like, the whole, all of 2017 was, like, my will versus the Lord's will, and learning how to, like, align that, and learning how to abide in Christ, and learning how to trust him, and, like, just failing. Like, it was a year of failure, you know? Where it was constantly getting rebuked for doing something or saying something, like, you know, doing something stupid or, like, emotionally shitting on someone or, like, constant failure and, like, approaching people like their projects, you know, just to boost myself and, like, people-pleasing. And it was just a long year of breaking. The reason why for my stability now, like, the Lord worked in so much, like, I felt like it was an accelerated version of, like, all right, we're setting you up. You know, you're going to get your life together. And it was just a year of just suffering, but, like, trying to persevere, you know.
Mm.
And it was a rough year. But it was, like, so joyful, too, because I moved after that whole thing with the girl. I moved from Nitro to Ham. I was in Keith's cell and was discipling one of the dudes that recently came around. And something that, like, the Lord has gifted me with is, like, you know, bringing that excitement and bringing, like, I feel like I'm really good at bringing people together, you
like
know?
Like, you're a campaigner.
Yeah, and it wasn't me. It was 100% what the Lord was doing through me, you know, and I was just trying to be willing, and I was definitely failing a lot, too, you know. This was over the summertime, and it was, like, such a cool summer because it was, like, I was constantly trying to be useful and, like, bring up ideas for all of us to go, like, to hang out, build the home church. And, like, that summer, if you, like, ask some of those people that were in the home church, it was, like, one of the most fun of summers. Like, we hung out all night. Like, mm-hmm. there'd be nights where we'd sit around a fire and just hang out. And it was, like, it was actually, like, a real summer where we worked on our unity. Like, the Lord brought mm-hmm. us all together, like, built all of us up. And we had a bunch of freshmen coming in that were, like, super excited. And the Lord used me, you know, and I felt what it was like to be useful and mm-hmm. to do something that actually, like, had a significance. And it was, like, my favorite summer, you know. Even though I was, like, failing left and right, it was just so much fun, you know, because that next semester, we ended up, like, having a goal. You know how IGL does, like, a prayer goal? Like, we actually, like, met that goal. Like, the Lord blessed us with bringing, like, 10 people around, and we, like, met all of our first-timer goals. And, like,
yeah, that's cool.
Of a year where Ham, like, didn't have, like, any first-timers, and, like, everyone was struggling to, like, even work together. And so cool to see the Lord working, you know?
Yeah.
It was so awesome to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And after the next semester, I think we ended up splitting again, which was, like, really cool. That was 2017 was definitely, like, my turning point of when, like, after the first year of walking, like, mm-hmm. God kind of pulled off the water wings and the pool, you know?
Yeah, he gave you some, like, okay, this is going to be fun and, you know, yeah, like, give you some good feelings and show you that these people care about you, but now you have to, like...
I'm going
to
take you from being a taker to actually...
Yeah, so love people.
Yeah. It was so cool to learn how to, like, submit under his authority through all that, you know, because it was just a constant fight between my will and his.
Mm.
And it was, like, humbling in so many ways. I really learned how to find stability through, like, the word. I started doing the Proverb of the Month Club. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's... So there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. And Proverbs is, like, literally, like, the script of how to have a successful and live a wise life.
We are about to do that in D-Ship.
Yeah, so, and it's just reading a chapter, so, like, what's the date today?
27th?
Yeah, 27th, so you read chapter 27. And, like...
And, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so there's 31 days. That taught me, at first I just did it. Actually, Terry Lesnick is the one that told me, like, oh yeah, it's Proverbs of the Month Club. I was like, this sounds like a pretty cool way to actually, like, get in the Word every day.
Terry always gives some, like, bombs. Yeah. So the other day, I said to Terry, I'm having trouble with Mila at school. She keeps getting trouble. She can't control herself with her talking. And he was like, oh, a lot of times when our kids get in trouble, it's really just a reflection on us. And I was like, son of a bitch, Terry.
And, yeah, he told me to do that. I learned how to, like, be in the Word every day. And I learned how to find stability because I'm the type of person that loves to follow my emotions and follow my feelings. I learned that, like, my feelings don't matter and only truth matters, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm learning that, okay, this is how I feel, but this is what God's Word says, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, your feelings matter, but not to the point that you're going to make...
Yeah, your feelings make a bad decision.
They're
going to
direct your life.
Yeah. They don't have to control your life. What does matter is truth. And are you trying to abide in Christ and trying to take every thought captive, you know, trying to realizing, I think a huge thing was that I was realizing that apart from him, like, I'm nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from his word, apart from his truth, like,
mm-hmm.
And if I go a couple days without, like, reading the Bible, like, sometimes, like, on the weekends, I'm real bad at it for some reason, like, Monday, but, like, on Monday, sometimes I'll feel like, oh my God, like, I feel like I can't function right. I feel like a retard if I'm, like, not in the Word, you know? And
yeah.
Going through, I still do the Proverbs every day. I'll usually do that in my devotional time. I'll read a chapter in that and then actually go into, like, mm-hmm. what chapter I'm going through. And that, like, really helped me cling to God's Word, you know?
Do you have a favorite passage?
I think when I first came back to ministry, I was, like, trying to get in the Word and try to make that, like, success. And I was like, all right, well, I'll start the Gospels, like, I read through Matthew, I read all of Matthew, but I think God put this on my heart from right in the beginning of starting to walk again, was like, seek my kingdom and my righteousness and all things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. That's a goal, you know? Like, God knows what I want. God's going to give me the desires of my heart according to his will, you know, whatever, like, what he thinks best for me, because he knows better than I do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If I make it a goal to seek his kingdom first, and make that. And it was just like through all the stuff I went through and trying to walk again, that verse just kept coming back up again, up again, up again. Like, it's just like, it's just keep seeking his kingdom, keep fighting for his kingdom. I think that one is one of my favorites. And then Luke 9:23, if anyone wishes to be my disciple, you need to deny self and pick up your cross daily.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that I have to cling to help me, like, love other people, you know, because it's always like, I'm so selfish. My first instinct is like to think about myself, you know, and think about what I got going on. But Luke 9:23 really like helps me check myself. Like, it's not about you.
Yeah.
You know, let God fill you up. Let God, and it goes back to Matthew 6:33, you know, I'd say Romans 5:1-11. You got to persevere. You're going to struggle. But you can have like faith, you know, you can exalt during your tribulation because you got God on your side and you got all these people around you, and like, you can persevere, you know. And that's what, like, that's how God builds you up, is through failure. And that was really hard for me, you know, because like I said in the beginning, it was learning to fail wasn't easy, you know. And I still struggled, you know, but I've really learned how to accept God's grace in that, where it's like, I can't do it, you know. And then John 15:4-15. Apart from I'm the vine, you're the branches. And apart from me, he who abides in me will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you're nothing. That was like one of the verses, like, I can't do this myself. I'm always trying to self-will my way. And like, apart from God, I ain't shit, you know. I can't do this myself. I can't do this without the Lord. And I can't change myself. I can't will my way in. Like, even if I fail, like, I just need to be a man and accept my failure and accept God's grace. And that was like hard for me to do as like a Christian kid, you know, because it's like you know what to do,
yeah,
and how to talk your way out of things.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole different way of looking at things too, because I mean, we think like failure is bad, right? But then sometimes God can use failure in a good way. So maybe he, you know, not like God caused your failure, I don't need any help failing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But God can use that failure. What if that's his will for you to fail in that, not you, but anyone in that instance, so you learn something, you learn how to trust him, where I have a hard time with that because I don't like to ever not make a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like real hard on myself too. I have a lot of goals, you know. I read Tony Evans' book, Kingdom Man, in 2017. Like, that was like a huge book. All I want to do is serve God's kingdom. And that's when I got really sold out. And like, his book is so sweet. You haven't read it, read it. It was just like teaching me how to be like a man of the Lord, what a mature man looks like. The all-around message, it's God at the head, you under that. And if you're under God's authority, like, you're under protection, you're safe, you know. And it's just like trying to align myself under God's authority. And I've had an authority problem my whole entire life. I've never wanted to be under anyone's own authority besides my own. And learning how to do that was like the coolest part of like 2017. Was learning how to like just completely focus on God's kingdom and try not to focus on what I got going on. Let him fulfill my needs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, definitely read that book if you haven't.
Just talk about really briefly like what God is doing in your life now.
God is doing so much in my life. It's like I'm at a point where I've seen, like, looking back, and like, it's almost 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been back in ministry, and I have so much, like, it's crazy how what the Lord has done. Like, I have a good job now. I'm stable. I got people that I'm trying to love and care about, and like, the Lord has blessed me and bringing people to me, you know, and being able to care about these guys I got coming around and learning how to be a man, you know. Like, that's the hardest part for me, because I spent so much time just not growing up. I'm learning stuff that I should have learned when I was 18, you know. I'm learning those things now, and looking back, I love serving the Lord now, you know, because I have, it's so true in Romans when it says we're encouraged to grow by God, or we're encouraged to change by God's kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And like, seeing what the Lord has done in my life has set me up and like, and has brought me through this process, and looking back on it, and like, I have a beautiful girlfriend that loves the Lord that I don't deserve, you know. I have a job that pays really well, and it's like a cool place to work at, and that was also from the Lord, you know, when I was looking for a job. Another job after working at EDC for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
This job just came randomly. Like, it was an email from, and it's like it's a small private-owned company. And I was looking for higher pay, and they gave me exactly what I was asking for, you know. It's just like seeing God's hand in my life and seeing him take care of me, it's like so crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. I still struggle hard with, like, I'm a person that doesn't like to live in reality. I like focus on, I'm always in a dream world, you know, of like what I want my life to be, and learning how to submit to like God's plan is something that I'm really like trying to do now, you know, knowing that like I don't have to worry about tomorrow, and it's just worrying about today, you know, worrying about what God's putting right in front of me and what God's doing today, trying to be content, you know, keep having this, working from this state of gratitude and realizing like I got so much stuff to fall back on. Like I got best friends like Ryan Yorger and Logan Bayless, Chase, like all these guys are like huge parts of my life, and like I'm so thankful for them, you know, and them always like speaking into my life. And I have so many relationships, like being discipled by an elder and Keith is like such a privilege. Learning how to just follow counsel and follow direction, and knowing that my way does not work. I'm naive. I don't really know what I'm doing. In Proverbs, when it says, like, wisdom starts in humility, like, that's such the truth. Like, you know, I'm a Christian kid, but I think I can know. I know how to do it. I've done this my whole life, you know? The reality is, I don't know shit. I need help. A wise man keeps an abundance of counsel, you know, looking for help, seeking, having the humility to be like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, that's a good spot to be in, instead of coming from this naive, ignorant standpoint where you just try to act like you know what you're doing. And sitting in that point where it's like, yeah, asking for help and seeking counsel every step of the way, and knowing that, like, seeking God's leadership, you know, God's discernment. And God works through his people. He works through his word, you know. Trying to align my life under his authority is really all I'm really trying to do, you know, trying to put people in front of myself and not be a taker, you know.
Yeah.
Try to be building up the people around me and learning how to do that.
Now, I'll encourage you, and I mean, I've just seen a huge change in you in that way, in that you, when you started coming back around, just the excitement that you had was cool, but in the last year or so, just seeing like you're totally different, where you have substance now, where not only are you fun and you're charismatic and you're cool to be around, but there's like a weight to you where, you know, it's not just breeze in and breeze out fun Andrew. It's like, not only am I fun, but I care about people, and there's a weight to me, and there's substance, and there's, like you're saying, where you're learning how to be a man, and you're learning how to be a man of God. So it's really cool for me to see, and praise the Lord that he's working in your life and he's using those people that you're mentioning.
Yeah, and it's nothing that I've done, you know. It's like something that I have to really mention. Like, it's nothing that I've done. Like, pretty much every step of the way I fought, like, you know.
Right, it's nothing that you've done, but the one thing you have done is you've consistently made the decision, even though sometimes you initially make the decision to go your own way, you're making the decision to follow the Lord, and you're getting into your word, and you're investing in the kinds of things that God invests in, and you're seeing the dividends and the payoff now. So it's from me, like, having known you for many years and cared about you, and
yeah,
so you're always going to be part of our life, and we care about you, but just to see you come from, like, literally a kid jumping on the bed with Michael in your underwear, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you're just a kid, a lovable kid, but then to transition to, like, I don't know if this guy's ever going to get his life together, to the Lord is working miraculously in your life to draw you back to him. At some point, you made the decision to follow him and to hear what he had to say, and I'll go to XSI.
Yeah.
You made those decisions, and it's like, it's really like, I talk to you now, and it's like I'm talking to, like, a different person.
Yeah.
Than I ever knew. Like, you're the same person, but God is taking you to where you're a man. So it's just really cool.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. It means a lot. And I mean, I look up to you guys a lot, and I thank you before, Lauren, that, like, for pushing and for really trying to love me when I didn't want it, you know. And always pushing towards the Lord, and seeing you guys are definitely big role models in my life. And I have to mention that, because it's like, I mean, I have been trying to be willing as possible, but everything that has been changed in my life is 100% because of the Lord, you know. Mm-hmm. It's, I can't take any credit for it, you know, besides just trying to be willing, trying to do my best to put him first. Mm-hmm. And let everything flow out of that. And I really want to see the Lord someday and see the people I've impacted. And mm-hmm. to see the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Like, yeah.
That's my ultimate goal, you know?
Yeah.
And I, like, fail from that all the time. You know, I fall back, take 2 steps forward, 10 steps back. But I know that, like, the Lord loves me, and I've learned how to, like, really try to just stay in His grace and know that His grace is sufficient for my life. And even if things don't work out the way I see them, I know that the Lord's got a better plan than mine, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't thank you guys enough for loving me when it was hard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Eric, too, and Andy, you know?
Eric with the ice cream addiction.
It's funny now.
That is funny. I don't remember I was saying that. Well, it's funny. Tonight, I'm taking perspectives. So, and
we're not going to edit this out.
This is like an interesting thing. Like, if this line is all of eternity, but it just keeps going, right? And this little like thing right here is our life. We worry so much about this part. And even like, okay, I'm going to get to this point and I'm going to save and I'm going to scrimp and I'm going to do all this crap, the grind to like live out this little part of my life where like, really, we have this little part to actually like impact this.
Yeah.
And like, that is like when you said like, oh, I want to seek out the kingdom first.
Yeah.
It's like keeping that like in mind that we have this like little teeny blip. All we can do is take people with us.
Yeah.
You know, like we can take six. It was from
Francis Chan.
Yeah. Did you see the whole rope and the little thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Francis what it was.
Chan, Francis Chan used that in one of his throughout 2017 too, like really trying to challenge my mind because like I never did that ever, you know? Mm-hmm. And I read like,
I asked you if you had a verse and I was like, I hope he does. Damn, you've been studying, dude. So I'm proud of you in that regard. That's what I'm saying. There's some weight to you where like there's some substance and because you know the word and you have some wisdom to you where you've been studying. So
yeah, I mean, it came to a point too where I had to ask the Lord for wisdom, you know, because I realized how naive I was and how I thought I knew everything. And I was just approaching the Lord so pridefully, and like the Lord broke me down where it's like, yo, you don't know anything.
Yeah, it's like a thing too with God. Like, you don't stop learning. It's not like you never arrive.
Yeah, there's never
you're never gonna arrive.
You know.
I think that like we can really deceive ourselves. So it's like you gotta have some truth. You gotta have like that, like those tools on the days when you're thinking whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, Satan's going to throw stuff at you. The world's going to throw stuff at you. Like, you got to stand on truth.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, too, like, staying on truth, like, that's something that Satan, like, really attacked me early on. And, like, learning how to, like, realize how the Lord how Satan works, you know. I read that book, Spiritual Warfare. Like, I learned how to, like, discern, okay, this is accusation. This isn't from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This is not how it is. God's not a condemner, you know, like learning the voice of Satan, and like that was so crucial, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that book was huge. I think like clinging to truth, not only in the word, but also trying to like become like, that was one thing in 2017. I remember praying like, Lord, I need your wisdom. I'm naive. I don't know what I'm doing. And mm-hmm. like after that, I just had this huge drive to read a book after book. I read like, that's another great book, when people are big and God is small. That like, I was really struggling with people pleasing super hard, and you were the one that mentioned to me.
Which Heidi mentioned that to me.
Yeah, right? And I read that book on vacation.
Yeah.
That one where I read the entire
The Vacation of 1,000 Books.
Yeah, dude. I read 2 books on that vacation.
That was funny.
That's like a 340-page book.
I know, that's funny.
I couldn't put it down.
I love reading a good book on vacation, but sometimes it like you get like sucked in.
I got sucked in hard.
Yeah, I get that.
Super hard.
I get that hyper focus thing.
Is there anything else we need to say as a group?
Mm-mm.
No? You ready for bed, Lauren?
Mm-hmm.
Andrew?
Yeah, I should probably go to bed. But I do want to say I love you guys. And
yeah, I
appreciate
you.
I wouldn't be where I'm at without you guys and without what the Lord has done through you. And thanks for having me on the Joe Show.
You're welcome.
This Joe Show is me, Joe, and I was joined on today's episode by Andrew Shoups and Lauren Alley. This episode was recorded in February 2019 in a yellow house in Stowe, Ohio. This Joe Show's intro music is Follow View by Semaphore, used under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 international license.
Do you remember your own name? Do you remember how you opened your eyes? There were moments from that day. There were moments from that year. Recorded.
Closing song is The Keeper of Histories by Defy Them All, used under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 4.0 license. Both songs can be found at freemusicarchive.org.